Alrighty, guys, welcome back to another episode of the All Aces Podcast, another show today. And today, man, we have a very special guest. This one, we've been waiting for a while. We actually had to pull a couple strings for this one. And it's most important as well because this is right here in our backyard. If you're in Fresno County, you've probably been to his establishment as well. It's a badass gym. And along with many other lists of accomplishments as well, let them know why today is so special, Dan.
Man, so today we're with my boy Will, owner of the best gym in Central California, the Aaron Office here in Fresno, California. Welcome to the show, man. First of all, thank you for allowing us to be the first show to have you on, man. One thing that we always love is when we bring people that are from the Valley doing big things. I know off camera we talked a little bit about that stuff, how, you know, the Valley, Fresno, it's a lot bigger than what people see it as. And there's so much talent, so much potential here, man. And I know that your gym is a testament to the talent and the skill that you brought to the Valley, but also too, it's a great platform for everybody else in the fitness industry, man. So we're super happy to have you. It's gonna be a good time,
dude. I actually appreciate you guys so much for having me. It's been really weird for me to do things like this. I've had at least 20 invitations, and if it wasn't for Matt reaching out, and you know,
shout out Matt.
He kind of put me on the spot, and I was like, you know what, I think it's time to do it. He said it'd be fun. You guys are awesome, so thank you for having me.
Thank you, bro. So Iron Offers Will, we got him. For all the 20 other requests, here he is.
Keep requesting.
Let's get into it, baby.
Nice, dude. So I want to start because if people are from Fresno, at some point or another, I know that they've seen some of your stuff. I've heard about your gym. Obviously, right now, you have a ton of big partnerships. We got the Fresno State thing going on, Mark the Boxer, and a ton of other huge, huge athletes, man. And right now, business is good. Gym is successful. Still growing. And there's a ton of cool things happening, man. But I know that, obviously, we were talking a little about it. It didn't start like this, right? Like, you know, some people, if you haven't heard about the Aaron Office, it's been around, 9 years, right? Going on 9 years this October. So we like to start, man, at the gritty part of the story with Will. What was Will doing before the Aaron Office became an idea? Where were you at in life?
So the idea just sparked one day. I saw an ad in the newspaper. It said a spot opening in Sanger. Looks like a little office space. And I was like, hey, you know what? You know what would be sick? A gym, like a small gym, grungy, but, you know, with the modern twist to it. And that's part of what the name of the gym came about. It was an office space, and I was going to put a bunch of iron in it. And so I was in the Army. I was a career counselor, and I was kind of deciding other people's career paths. And I didn't know what my career path was going to be after the Army. So I just fast-tracked that after the Army part. I requested to get out of active duty, come back to the reserve, and it just kind of all happened really fast. To be honest, I put in my request sometime in the summer. By November, I had a lease signed. I moved back to Sanger, and the gym just kind of, I would say took off, but it took a long time for it to take off, but it just kind of, you know, steadily kept its mark.
Yeah, that's sick though, because 9 years ago, right? Like obviously they see it now, right? You can look up Iron Office, best gym here in Fresno County for sure, Central Valley. You know what I mean? And like they see this huge gym, but they don't see the, like you said, you use the word like grungy, right? Like people don't know Sanger. Sanger's not a large town like Fresno. It's not like super popular, but Sanger is like a really great town, but small, right? It's super small, a lot of country. And if you think Sanger, if you've seen downtown Sanger, it's definitely not like downtown Fresno.
Yeah.
So I just think, cool, bro. It like super props you on the name too, like Iron Office. It wasn't, I never knew that too. It's kind of cool to find out.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was part of the first gym. If it was, you know, but it was part of the first gym, but it was actually the idea of you go to work, you go to the office, you do work. And so to me, it was just like, man, we all go to an office. We all go some type of office. You know, we go to work. We work for other people. We make money for other people. Why don't we work for ourselves, for our health? And so like it was all kind of like just in one. And I've had small ideas of ever like changing the name or something like that. I'm like, dude, that's like the roots. Like there's no way, you know?
Yeah. I'd be a little sad if you change it, bro. I think it's such a sick name.
Yeah, you know, that was really such a cool concept. But I had never clicked in my head. You're right. Like the Aaron Office, it used to be Office Space, but it's an office because you show up and you go to fucking work in the office. That's so cool, dude. You know, one thing though that I don't know if people caught right now when you were telling your story is that Because you were with the Army for a good while, no?
Yeah, I was. Now that I think about it, I joined in 2007, and I didn't actually leave until 2019. So.
How old were you when you first joined, and how old were you when you got out?
I was 19. I turned 19 in basic training, actually.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, so I...
Basically straight out of high school.
Yeah, so I did about a year and a half at Fresno City. I was kind of having bad grades a little bit. I was distracted, and I was like, you know what? I think I need something to... Put a kick in my ass, and yeah. And that really did it.
The Army did it. So you were there for what, like 13, 14, 13, what, 10 years, 9 years?
Yeah, almost 13 years entirely.
13 years, yeah. And it's so crazy, man, because you would think that 13 years into the Army, it sounded like you had a great career going on. But like you said, you were still kind of like indecisive. You were like, man, I'm choosing these people's careers, kind of telling them, helping them figure out what they want to do with their life. And you were kind of still like at a crossroads. And what was so crazy in your story that you kind of just floated over it, man. But a lot of people are not willing to take that kind of risk. They might have the idea of the iron office. They might have the idea of starting whatever business that they have the idea for. But they just won't take the risk, man. And for you, you left something that I'm assuming was probably super steady, especially after 13 years, guaranteed. I'm sure you were doing great. So for you to kind of take that risk, like it's not, you know, it's not a small thing. It's not something people wake up every day and just like, you know what, fuck my 13-year career, man. I'm going to start a gym, you know. People don't do that, dude. So that's like a key part of the story, man, where I know there's a lot of people out there right now who are probably in their careers a few years in. Maybe they're afraid to switch it up. Maybe they're afraid to try something different. So what was that moment like for you, dude, where you like decided to take the risk? Like, did you put thought into it, plan it out? Was it sporadic?
So my thoughts are always just kind of out of the blue. For some reason, I just if there's one that sticks, I have ideas all day. Like there's just my brain is in a constant flux. But when there's one that sticks, it's like I usually plan a little bit of it, and then I start acting. That's my biggest thing. I just so I was young and I was 27 when I did it. So my biggest thing is we can always change no matter what. We can always change your path. You can be 20, you can be 40, you can be 60, and you can change it up no matter what. But I wanted to make sure that I had the right mindset going into it. I had the physical advantage of being able to start a gym, being able to present myself as a gym goer, somebody that actually does the work.
To fit the brand, yeah.
Right, exactly. So I was I wanted to make sure that I can do what I'm asking other people to do. So that's why I took the leap at that point. I think if I would have waited, it probably wouldn't have been the same. I'm very, very impulsive, though. So that decision back then, if I look back, I'm like, man, that's kind of dumb. yeah, so I was on a fast track. And even in the Army, I would always promote ahead of my peers. We call them PT rock stars. But I was always at the top. All my test scores, everything, physical fitness, academic. I was a distinguished honor graduate multiple times in all the classes that I went to. And it was a great career. It was very fulfilling, but it was just something missing where I felt like I was still doing this for big Army. I was doing it for the Army, which is great. You're doing it for your country. You're doing it to help other people. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I wanted to have something for myself.
Mm.
So, yeah, and I was going to ask, I mean, you mentioned a good point, bro. I mean, obviously Army's the utmost respect, you know what I mean? You're doing it for a great cause and like that. But what would you say to people out there that are in the Army right now, right? Because, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of people watching this that are in the same exact predicament as you, and they probably have a little bit of that guilt, right? We're like, man, if I leave the Army, if I step away from this, I'm going to be abandoning my country, abandoning the mission that I have, right? Like, what's some advice you can give them on how to kind of put themselves first sometimes?
Yeah, I think when it comes to the mission first idea that we have, it's you got to be selfish about it because at the end of the day, there's always going to be a replacement for you. But if you feel that commitment is still there and it's still like a burning sensation that you just, you know, you have to do it for someone else or you have to do it for, you know, your friends and family, or you have a very mission centric job and that requires you and you have that expertise for it, then I don't see a problem sticking with it, even if you have some apprehensions. Like I said, there's always time. You don't have to force that move out because it isn't easier on the outside. You know, the Army is really hard. It's really taxing on mental health, physical health, but it's not much easier out here either. It takes some time. to kind of set your feet back on the ground, because you're essentially starting from zero. There's a lot of programs now, though. The VA helps a lot. There's a lot of programs that that hire vets, and you know, a lot of resources. But that action thing, you still have to put it into work. And if you come out thinking that it's, you know, it's gonna be just a smooth ride, it's you have to bring that mindset from the Army, that what got you there to begin with. Bring it out here into the real world, and because the real world can use people like that as well.
That's so cool, bro, because you look at it, you had a mission in the Army, right? You had one mission, protect the country. You had different missions you did, and you kind of took it out here, the discipline, the structure, and you brought it into here, bro. So, yeah, that's badass, bro. I commend you to it, and for sure. And I want to take it back a little bit, too. I know Danny talked about taking the risk, right? And obviously, everything's always fun. Everyone always has business ideas, and everything's always super fun, especially the first month, right? When you first start, you maybe have a grand opening, you tell your tias, like your cousin, hey, I'm starting this new business, right? It's super fun. But and I'm sure it was probably the same way for you, but like, take us through the mindset of Will whenever it was like month three, month four, right? Like after the grand opening, after the balloons were probably popped and they're in the back, right? But your name's still on the lease, and the landlord comes knocking on month three, and you're like, hey, Will, like, I understand maybe it's you're barely starting, you're picking stuff up, but rent's due, man. Like, what is that mindset and will look like?
Dude, what's kind of crazy about business is that rent's due even before you start. So once you get the keys to the door, you're on a time. You're on a clock to get your doors open as fast as possible, because that landlord doesn't care if you're making money or not. So that was something that I had to learn really fast. I was always responsible with my bills, but when there's no money to pay the bills, it's what, you know. I was lucky enough that when I started the business, I went with a nice loan. So I got a loan, a personal loan, and I had to pay that bill. I had to pay the bill to the landlord, and the gym was only making half of what I was owing, right? So the bank account was slowly dwindling. And not to fast track it or to fast forward, but it took me over 5 years to finally break even.
So 5 years, you were, bro, that's, how did you not quit, bro? Because most people, I mean, you're 3 months in, bro. You're a year in, 2-3 years in, right? Most people say, hey, stick around 2 years, you're going to have some success. But bro, you're 5 years in, you're not seeing like enormous profit, right? But you still stuck the course, bro. And obviously now it paid off, but like, how did you stick the course, bro?
Dude, what's crazy is that I quit every night. And in the morning, I was ready to go back to it. Like, yeah.
Love that, bro.
It was tough. Every night, I'm like, dude, I stay up till 2-3 in the morning. And I'm like, man, like, what am I doing? Should I really keep it going? Blah, blah, blah. I'm losing money. I have other people depending on me. And then I was like, I'm going to go to sleep. I'm gonna wake up in the morning. I'm like, fuck, I'm ready to go. You know, have a energy drink, get started on the day. And then... It's another day, and then get back at night and same thoughts again. And, you know, just day after day, you just got to keep, you know, just one step at a time.
Do you feel too, bro? Because one of the things that I kind of caught from what you were saying, what made you take the risk was a big part of it was that you didn't really feel like you were building something for yourself. Do you feel like that was also a big factor into it, just going into the gym, that you knew that ultimately all the hard work and, you know, sweat, tears and stuff would pay off because you are building something for yourself and now your family, right?
Oh, definitely. And it wasn't just family, too. Like, we kind of built an extended family here at the gym. It was a little tough for us to kind of get going, but it was very helpful that we had friends that wanted to be part of the community. It wasn't we talk about a lot about community here. We talk a lot about community at the gym, but that community wasn't created by me. I made the gym, and the community kind of created itself. And so the friends that we had involved in it, I felt a responsibility to them. And I would have these conversations with them every once in a while. I'm like, hey, you know, finances don't look too great. I know we have a team, we have friends, we have powerlifting meets that we do. You guys depend on the gym for, you know. And it wasn't like a sense of like impending doom or anything like that, but it was like, they're going to have to spread out. They're going to have to go do other stuff. They're going to have to go to other gyms. They might not keep, you know, keep that same.
Transparency, right?
Yeah, they might not have the same motivation to go somewhere else. And we were so small that I had that connection with them. So I just wanted to make sure that the lights stayed on for them and to keep that kind of that vision and that mission going forward, I wanted to have something different. And if it wasn't for sticking around, like, I don't know what, you know?
Yeah, dude. And it's so nuts, like Ant said, man, because some people have a vision. They start something. But if that's not working out, something's going to be out for a couple of months. You know, if it's not working out for a couple of months, let alone 5 years, you know, a lot of people, it's super easy for a lot of people to quit, man. So what would you say to somebody that is kind of maybe in that spot? Maybe they've been doing they're pursuing their dream, they're pursuing their idea, and maybe they're having those thoughts, too, like you were having, you know, at night. What would you say to somebody that was in that position or that is in that position right now to kind of help them keep on going?
I think you really just have to evaluate your current goals and what you want in the future. I didn't base my decisions on money. Luckily, I had enough money to cover it, but I didn't base it on that. My decisions, especially for the future, I wasn't hoping that all of a sudden I was going to make all this money and have a big house or cars or whatever. My goal was just to keep the gym going, keep the idea going. So if you can stomach losing money and you have the money and you're not wasting someone else's money, then just keep pushing forward, because money can come and go. You know, you can always make money back some other way. You might have another idea, but if it's an idea that you're passionate about and you're okay with that money going to waste, then just keep it going. But I have a big thing of, if you're using someone else's money, and I don't mean a bank, if you're using a family member's money, a friend, you know, you have other people that depend on that money that you have, then that's a different story.
Big responsibility, bro.
Right. Because, a lot of people, you know, that could be somebody's life savings. That could be somebody's security blanket that you're putting to waste. But like I said, if it's your own money and you're okay with it, you know, not doing anything, then and that idea is very, very, very passionable, then just keep it going.
It's almost that extra added responsibility, right? Where it's not only you and your family that's depending on it, your success. Like, if you fail, it's your money. You're like, bad business idea. I can kind of wipe the slate clean and start over again. But what's your family, bro? That's like, you still have to see him at the Easter party or the carne asada next week. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah. It's tough. That was one thing I went in with. I didn't want to involve my family. And that was probably the biggest reason why. Because if I failed, you know, I could take it on my back and just go, you know. But if I failed and I owed money to my family, or I took their money and ran away with it, or, you know, whatever, it would have been a whole different story. Or it would have made me want to quit sooner. It would have wanted me to pull the plug before all their money went down.
You don't want to see them.
Yeah, I don't want to take everybody down with me, you know. So I wanted to be able to bear that responsibility on my own and just be like, hey, I'm going down on my own. You guys don't have to worry about it if it does happen. But it was kind of like a blessing.
Yeah, it sounds like it. I mean, paid off, bro. And we talked about the topic of family. Was there anyone, like, family members that have ever started businesses in your family before, or like people that you knew at all? Or?
Not in a sense that I did it. But my dad was a huge. And it's funny because looking back, I see it as a huge motivator. He would run a mechanic shop essentially out of our house, and he would buy and resell cars in L.A. But I never saw that as like, oh wow, I want to do what my dad does, or, you know. But once I started my business, I kind of saw the same behavior, the same pattern, where I was, you know, very inclined to just pushing forward with the business and very hyper focused on making sure that everything was paid off and everything was. And I was like, hey, you know what? I think I might have picked something up from him because nobody else taught me this, you know. So it was a little weird, but. My dad was a huge motivator for me.
What does your parents mean to you today in your business? I mean, what not only what do they mean to you, but what do they think of this business that you built now?
Dude, it almost feels like they're in disbelief every time, because my dad still calls me and he checks up on me and he's like, dude, are you sure you're okay? Like, like, do you need help? Like, are the bills paid? I'm like, dude, I'm good. Like, I swear I'm good. And like, my mom's always worried about me, and exactly. But when they come in here, I love seeing their face. Like, their eyes just light up and they're like, holy shit, like, you really made this. Like, it's crazy. And they're still in Sanger, and they come out maybe once a month to the gym, and they're just like, man, like, this is insane. And like, for us, we change a lot in the gym, so we're always constantly adding something,
yeah.
And we'll post it on Instagram or Facebook and stuff, and they see it and they're like, that's my son, and they'll share it to their friends. That's, and stuff. Awesome. That's really cool, yeah. To me. I don't visit them as much as I should, because I'm always stuck here, but it's always nice to like to talk to them, and they're so proud of me, and to me it's just like I'm just doing my job, mm-hmm. but to them it's like it's a grand dose thing, like they love it.
Yeah, it's you created something that they can be proud of, yeah. And was it always that way? Or I mean, because obviously now they come in, you said they're super proud of you, and they come in and they get to see the brick and mortar that you built, right? But in the beginning, whenever you were first about to sign the lease, you had that small little iron office in Sanger. Were they supportive then, or were they kind of like, mijo, I don't know if you should do this. What's going on?
Well, supportive, I would say they were supportive, but yeah, they were very apprehensive.
Okay.
My dad was like, and not in those words, but don't do it, man. He was more like, are you sure? But, yeah. You know, like in the tone of, this is kind of dumb. Like, I don't know if I would do this. They were just worried, you know? And then every couple months, he'd be like, dude, are you sure you want to keep going? Like, you're losing a lot of money, blah, blah, blah. And that was, it goes back to that, like, you know, I felt comfortable with losing my money. But he, like, they were very scared of what I was doing. And then my mom hated the black walls.
Oh, like the color scheme.
Yeah, so the first gym had black walls, too. That was my staple. I was like, dude, I had never seen that before. Like, yeah. In my mind, it was just like, I love having that atmosphere, and it's just like, so the very first gym back in 2015, I painted the walls black, and she was she came in and she was like, ew. She's like, ay, que color más macabre. So, and I still remember it, dude, and I was like, it looks cool. I think I like it, and all the equipment was black. We had some silver equipment in there, yeah, it was different. Especially for them, and it's still very different to them, because like they don't really understand fitness or the fitness world, yeah, or the, yeah, fitness community.
It's a whole different world, yeah.
Yeah, but they love it because I love it.
So. Yeah.
But out of all things, awesome. Bro, your mom comes in. First thing she knows, these walls. I don't really like the. It's so funny, bro.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's like such a Hispanic mom thing to do.
Yeah,
for sure.
It's just a dark color to her. It was just kind of like
battle
very doom. Yeah. You know, like,
did she have a color she wanted to paint it?
I didn't even ask.
No, okay.
Probably white.
Probably white.
Yeah.
That's awesome, dude. And, you know, in the process of growing the gym, too, do you move back to school a little bit, no? In the process of building the gym?
Yeah. So so while I was in the Army, I got my bachelor's. Mm-hmm. And then when I came out, I was I started the gym, and then I picked back up on going. I went to Phoenix here in Fresno, mm-hmm. actually. So I would go to on campus every Thursday or something like that. And so about a year and a half through the process of building the gym, I got my master's.
Master's, yeah.
Yeah.
That's badass, dude. Because that was you got an MBA in business, right?
Yeah.
Do you feel like that was like pivotal, dude? Do you feel like that helped you a lot? Or how do you feel like, what was like the, I guess if I had to say, like, do you feel like you can quantify like the value you got from the master's and how applicable it was to your business?
Alrighty, guys, quick break in between this podcast today to give a huge shout out to our sponsor, Academy West Insurance, the number one insurance company in California, not only Central Valley, but California. Let them know why, Dan.
Yes, sir. Look at all your insurance needs, auto, home, renters, life insurance. We got it all. If your insurance company is dropping you right now, they're not going to renew you. That's happening a lot, by the way, here in California. Don't worry, we got you covered in any front. So make sure to visit us at academywestauto.com, baby. We're here.
Back to the podcast. Let's get it.
Quantifying it, no. I definitely can't quantify it. Qualitative, though, yes. Yeah. So the I think the biggest thing for me when it came to school, so was just because it opened my mind to what other businesses are doing. I think, and it was a testament to Phoenix, because a lot of people kind of shit on the school for, yeah, you know, if it's an online school or whatever. But at least the Fresno campus, what they do is they bring in experts in the field. So CEOs of different companies are the actual professors here in Fresno.
Oh shoot.
So it was really cool. We got to see what they do, how they do certain things. And then they teach us the book stuff. The book stuff isn't really that helpful, but when it comes to like you want to apply for a loan, you wanna look at your numbers, you see what a CPA shows you, and you're like, I don't know, man. You kind of fishy a little bit, you know? But it gives you that level of trust. I don't know if you're going into business, I don't know if it would be worth spending $40,000 on a degree so you can feel confident in starting it. But if you're already going to school and you think that that's something that you want to do in the future, it definitely doesn't hurt.
Yeah, that's so cool too, because I feel like one big thing that that's kind of probably different in that program is that your teachers, they're practitioners, right? They're not just like some dude that just teaches business and he's never built a fucking
I don't know any other college that do that either.
I've never heard of that either, yeah.
When I was going to college, I went out to Washington for like, I only went out there for like a year, bro. And one of the biggest turnoffs for me was that I was riding a bus to school and I didn't have any. I was broke, you know, and I was riding the bus to school. And then I saw my professor in the back of the bus, my business professor. And he's like, "Hey, what's up, Anthony?" I'm like, oh, hell no. Like, this guy's teaching me about business, bro, on the same bus as me. And I'm like, I know I don't have two pennies to rub together. He's going to teach me how to, like, build a business. And I'm like, oh, man, yeah. I got to get out. Dropped out later that year.
But yeah, there's a time for theory and there's a time for practice, you know, and I thought that was really cool that they would bring in professors like that. I'm not a big school guy though. I did it because I was getting paid to do it from the Army. Mm-hmm. So I had my GI Bill and everything. So that's why I stuck with it, I think. But I'm glad I did. You know, it's something that I'm never gonna lose. Yeah. But it was and having that. You know, that added experience from those teachers, it was really cool. And I kept in touch with some of them for a little bit, but for the most part, it was just like, I just took the ideas that they gave me and we would study like big companies like Walmart and stuff. And I'm like, dude, if all these guys are like running this amount of money and they started it here, there's no reason why anybody else can't, you know?
Well, I can't do it. Yeah, that's such a badass mindset to have, dude, because it's kind of like, well, you do it, well, why can't I do it, you know? And I mean, true, you are doing it, you know, so that's cool, man, because I feel like the reason why I asked that question is because a lot of people, especially now, it's like super popular to kind of shit on college, like, oh, if I had college, you don't need college, you know, but like you said, you know, I think that's a really good way to put it, where if you're already there, you might as well walk away with the knowledge, especially if you're getting knowledge from like a really reputable source. Especially for people that are doing what you want to do in the business, you know, so that's awesome.
Yeah. On the same note though, bro, I want to ask you a question on the same note is that if you didn't have the GI Bill and someone's out there and they don't have that bill and they have to pay 40 grand out of pocket, do you think it's worth it for them to go to college to learn business, to get a business degree, to start a business, or you think it's not worth it?
If you don't have a mentor or if you don't have someone that can kind of guide you in the right direction, then it might be worth it. I think it really did, you know, it's kind of the luck of the draw though. Like, you know, you get that professor that rides the bus with you, or you get the professor that's done it before, you know. But at the same time, like I said, it won't hurt your chances, but it just really depends if you want to drop that amount of money on a chance. But I mean, you're doing that with the business anyway, so if you're going to go into to risk something, the school is the best risk, because at a minimum, you're going to have something on your resume that says I've done something, you know?
And it's cool because you can always fall back on it. And it's a very interesting point, bro, because I feel like a lot of people we've had on the show before, and even myself, in my opinion, bro, to be honest with you, I've always been super against school, and just because of my experience wasn't a positive experience, but it's super cool to see the other side of the coin where you're talking about it, where you had a positive experience. We're like, hey, bro, like I learned a lot. Like just to be able to shadow and hear from a Walmart CEO or someone that works Walmart as high exec, you know, that's very valuable, bro, for sure.
Yeah.
And on that topic too, you know, you were talking about a little about mentors. If you don't have the mentors to do it, or it's somebody that's done it, did you have any mentors coming up in the space?
I didn't. It was I don't know if I didn't look for anybody, but I didn't know anybody in the business. So I spent pretty much all my youth in the Army. So yeah, or at least my young adult life in the Army. So my mentors were Army mentors.
Infield, yeah.
So in the Army, I had plenty of people that helped me come up. But out in the civilian world, I was on my own. So when I started the business, I actually went and talked to a company that designs gyms and they, you know, sell equipment and this and that. And I walked into their office. We talked about my idea. And I said, oh, yeah, this is what I want. And then they were like, it's not going to work.
Mm.
You're going to fail.
What about it did they say wasn't going to work?
Well, one, it was treadmills. I was like, I just want two treadmills. And he's like, dude, you're gonna fail. Like, you're not even gonna make it past a couple months. And I was like, I guess I won't. But you know, that's
fucking crazy.
That's my concept, man. Like, my concept isn't to have a bunch of people running in here just to come in here at 5 a.m. There's other gyms for that. So my concept wasn't to create the only gym. It was to create my gym. I wasn't trying to take customers from anyone. I was trying to create my own customers. I was trying to create my own idea of training And obviously it stuck, you know?
Yeah. And it's so true, man, because I think that even if you had looked, I feel like it might have been hard to find, like, kind of like a true mentor in the space. Because even like the gym you were pioneering, like now I feel like they're a little bit more common. But before, like, you know, about 10 years ago, like the whole CrossFit thing was really coming up. The cross-functional training was coming up. Bodybuilding was really kind of coming up still. Like it's always had been there, but it was kind of becoming mainstream because through like YouTube, like Holly Muscle, CT Fletcher and all those guys. And all these other athletes that were bodybuilding, creating content now. So it was kind of like a new thing. And you were kind of like the first gym, because I remember going to the, we talked a little bit about earlier, but I remember going to the first Iron Office there in Sanger. It was so cool because it was so hard to find a gym with legit pads to lift with the badass equipment, with the Rogue cages and all these different things that you had, the legit bumper weights and all these different things that if you were, you know, lifting at that level, you wanted to get into lifting at that level. It was super hard to find because, I mean, it's called Valley Fitness now. What's the other one? It was called something else before, but it was just commercial gyms. You know, it was hard.
Like Fit Republic.
Fit Republic, yeah. It was like so hard to go into those commercial gyms because they didn't have that, you know. It was more for the running at 5 a.m. But I feel like at that point, especially, there was like a huge probably market coming up of people that were wanting to try the new style, you know, wanted to focus on just lifting. They didn't really give a shit about cardio. So it was really cool that you provided that platform. And that's a cool little story, man, where you went to the gym to, you know, the people helping you design gyms, and they were like, it's not going to fucking work, dude. And you're like, oh, fuck you.
Yeah. They really told me, bro. Like, they were just like, dude, you're not going to make it. Like, you're going to fail within the first year and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I guess I fucking will, dude. But like, you know, this is what I'm going to do. Like, you're not going to change my mind. I'm not going to buy more treadmills because you said that. Yeah. And it was like fucking 60-year-old selling equipment. I'm like, dude, like, it's time is now, man. Like, you know,
old ideas. Yeah.
He's on
that boomer mindset. Well, what goes into that, bro? So, like, for someone watching at home and myself included, like, whenever you talk about only wanting to have two treadmills in the gym, what goes into that, and what's like the purpose of that?
So my biggest thing was there's a road outside, dude. Like, you like it, that was like really my biggest thing. Like, you can, if you really want to go run, you can run outside. You're not gonna find weights out on the street, though. You know, you're not going to find a barbell out there. You're not going to find a power rack out on the street, but you can always run no matter what you do. Running is free. And, you know, the Army's a testament to that. We ran fucking 4, 5, 6 miles every morning. And you don't need a treadmill for that. But so that was my biggest thing. I was like, why am I going to spend the very little money that I have on 10 treadmills? And then
you can run outside.
Yeah. When you can just go run outside. And, yeah, so it was a little weird, but it made sense, and people really liked it. I had two treadmills, and I had a Stairmaster, and I think a bike. I don't remember if I got that bike then or if I got it later, but.
Okay, so, yeah, I want to stay on that too, bro. So, like, first gym, you mentioned you had a Stairmaster, two treadmills, you had a bike. What other equipment did you have in your first gym compared to now?
So I had dumbbells up to from 5 pounds to 120 pounds. I had a few benches. I had the easy bars and the straight bars for biceps. I had two deadlift platforms. I had a 6 squat rig, leg press, leg extension, a curl at an 8 station jungle gym, and I think two other machines, a hack squat, and that's about it, man. Like, I didn't have a lot, but I knew that those were certain staples that I wanted to have in the gym. I mean, in the gym, it was probably the size of this office. It was 2,700 square feet. It was really small. This one's 28,000 square feet. So in comparison.
10X,
yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so it was, we had two restrooms and my little office, and that was it.
Yeah.
Talk about an upgrade, bro. I mean, and then you fast forward to now. What's some of the biggest differences now between, you see, like, especially in equipment between back then until now this gym?
You know, the biggest difference is just how much of it we have. Because, If you look back, if you actually, like, if you had a time machine and you go back over there, it's just multiplied. That same gym, that same mentality, the same drive set, the same everything that we had back then, it's pretty much the same gym, but there's so much more equipment in here. It's multiplied by that much more. It's a little bit more high quality equipment, but for the most part, we started off with, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say, because even at first, man, when I remember going, like, you still had, like, basically the cream of the crop at that time. For just about everything, even the barbells too. Like, if you're into lifting, you know there are some rinky-dink barbells where, you know, you put enough weight on them, they bend when you pick them up, or they break when you drop them. You know, so you guys had like, dude, you guys had like the what was the best, the top tier at that time. You guys always had it. You know?
We still have some of those barbells. Yeah. They're still not bent. They're back there. Yeah, they're still back there. I mean, we only had like six back then, but now we have like 20, 24 of them.
That's
we just,
awesome.
We just got another four last week. So
I wish they can see it. We got to take them to a little tour after. Maybe we'll go to a little guided tour after. But like this gym is like massive. I mean, whatever you guys are thinking how big of a gym is, this gym is massive. It has like a boxing ring and everything you need really to work out here. And then some, it definitely has it here, bro. So
damn, dude. What a journey it's been, man. Right now, we want to transition into, we obviously have like a badass come up, a badass gritty story. Kind of like, it really, your story, the come up story really fits like the brand of the Iron Gym, you know? That saying, you know, like, oh shit, you want to run, you can run outside. It's kind of like when your parents, I feel like that's kind of when your parents, you know, you're coming up and you're like, mom, I want McDonald's. Nah, tenemos comida en la casa. No, that's what it is, you know? But it's like, it's gritty, dude. It's gritty. And the whole story, man, it's super gritty. Like just adversity, we're like, fuck, whatever, we'll keep on going, you know, we'll wake up, we'll keep on going, and eventually now we're here, dude. So I want to transition into some of the cool stuff you have going on right now, because you guys have a lot of shit going on, dude. The Fresno State thing was pretty fresh, right? Let me talk about that one first, because I think that's probably one of the bigger things you got, like one of the biggest partnerships,
especially growing up here, bro. Like growing up here, to see your sign, your company, your baby you've built on Fresno State Stadium, bro, talk about that feeling.
Dude, that was a dream. Like, even now, like, I go out there to the game, I'm like, fuck, like, that's us, dude. Like, it's crazy to see it. But, dude, the way that started was actually kind of, they came to me. Rob at Fresno State Athletics, he sent me a message, and I thought it was fake. Because, like, I get a bunch of emails and, like, want to advertise or, you know, grow your Instagram account, like, all kinds of dumb shit, and I'm like, dude, like, I just kind of, like, you know, toss everything in spam. But I got an email from Rob, and I checked it out. And I'm always checking sources. So I was like, okay, this seems legit. So he's like, dude, I'll come to you guys. And he came to the gym. He saw it. And he's like, dude, I want to work with you guys. I want to have the space for 12 to 14 athletes, like, during the off season or, like, you know, in case they need a different place to train outside of their thing. So we wanted to make some type of deal where we help them, they help us, and it worked out great. And we took that and we ran with it, man. Like every chance we get to work with them, every chance we get to expand that deal, we do.
That's big, bro. Because I mean, people that are watching at home, if you know Fresno State, I mean Fresno State, you see them play Alabama, you see them play UFC.
D1,
this is
a D1
type college. It's not like a community college. Nothing against community college, right? But like, this is a big deal, man. Big leagues right here.
Yeah, they're playing. They're playing Michigan first game this year. I think they're playing UCLA this year as well. So yeah,
they're some big dogs. Yeah.
Yeah. The program is growing. They're trying to grow it like tenfold in the next couple of years. They really want to expand it. There's a lot of opportunity for the program to keep growing.
Yeah, on the topic of Fresno State too, you also have a sponsorship program with David Carr, right? In the cars.
Yeah, so that was new this year. We brought him in. We shot some content with him that we're gonna be using throughout the year. But that one was kind of like, we brought Tyler in. So Tyler is David Carr's son. He's gonna be playing tight end for Fresno State this year. And so we brought him in to kind of talk to some of our members, you know, sign some autographs, and we had a lot of time to talk with him because we kind of did a terrible job at advertising it and promoting it. So, but I didn't want to cancel. And so I was like, dude, just come. We'll set it up anyway. So we just sat with him and we had a conversation and showed him the gym, walked around for a little bit. And he went back and told his dad and told that he loved the gym and this and that. And then I got a call from his agent. Same thing. I was like,
so you didn't reach out to him. He reached out to you.
Yeah. So yeah, his agent reached out to me and I was like, wait a minute, what the fuck? Like, let me, what'd you say your name was again? let me Google this. Cause I don't know if this is real. So I was like, dude, send me your email address or something. I want, you know, just to make sure. And, sure enough, he sends me his stuff. He sends me, all his letters of reference and like, dude, he's got like fucking 100 letters of reference from like Raiders players and David, Derek, all these other, you know. So I was like, okay, this is legit. And so he's like, dude, David really wants to work with you. He believes in the mission. He believes in what you guys are bringing to Fresno. And so I was like, okay, let's sit down and talk. And yeah, we worked it out. And he was here not even a month ago.
It was recent, yeah.
Yeah. Dude, he's a great guy too, like super down to earth. Like, you know, they say don't meet your heroes, but like that dude was super cool. Like, there was no, you know, I've met some other people. I've met some other famous people that weren't even on the level that he was, and kind of a little disappointed on some, you know. But this guy was like super cool. He he's, you know, he's Fresno. He bleeds Fresno. So.
Yeah, that's awesome, dude. What else do you have going on, bro? Maybe some, take a minute to kind of talk about some of the stuff you got going on. The big ones, obviously we got Fresno State, David, and then also Mark Castro too. That was kind of a new one, no?
Yeah, Mark Castro was, I reached out to him. Yeah, yeah, he wasn't one of the ones that came.
It's worth
me.
It, bro. You have to. Mark Castro's sick. Yeah.
Sent him a DM. I slid in his DMs. I was like, dude, come to the gym, man. And eventually he did come. We have some other, you know, some other notable athletes here. We have Aaron Banks. He's Aaron a Mr. Banks, Olympia.
Huge. Dude, that guy is massive. Let's talk about that real quick. That guy is just massive.
Yeah, dude. Like, he comes in here every day, and every day I'm like, bro. My wife's like, oh, there's Mr. Aaron Banks. You know, so he was actually our first big sponsored athlete. It was at the previous gym before this, and yeah, he blew up. Like, he won the first year that he was with us, he won the second, he got second place in Olympia, and then he won first place the next year.
That's huge.
Yeah, yeah. And dude, for his resume, he has pretty much nothing but wins. Even a second place at those level shows, it's ridiculous.
That's kind of like the Super Bowl for bodybuilding.
Though. Oh yeah, yeah, definitely. And people don't just make it there. You know, people go 10, 15, 20 years competing in the business, and they never even come close to touching it. So for him to do that out of Fresno, and huge. From not having like a huge agent, huge promoter, like, you know, dude, I remember when he went on there, I was watching it on the stream. The fucking announcer was like, oh, he had to like read the name. Like everybody else, he fucking knew them because they've been there for 10 years straight. And he had to like read the name. He was like, oh, kind of like, you know, like, oh, who? Everything's with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know? So he brought him on. And dude, I can't believe he went second place that year. We thought he was going to win it, but, you know, he got second place, came back, worked his ass off, and then won it the next year.
Trip.
Yeah.
Damn. And he's here, bro. Like, that's so sick that he's here in your gym too, bro. That makes it even more special.
Yeah, and he trains here every day. And same with Mark. So Aaron and Mark know each other, and so I don't know if that's where the connection kind of he kind of, you know, gave us a little bit of a reputation, and he's like, so I hit him up. I was like, hey, you come through, man. And he did. I don't remember what we were having that day, but he came through, checked out the gym. He trained for a little bit, and then I told him that we were gonna have another event. And I said, bring your dad, dude. My mom's making pupusas because his dad's Salvadorian. Yeah. So he goes, okay. I think that the pupusas has got him. So
people who don't know pupusas, bro, they are just different level, huh?
Yeah, seriously.
Smack, yeah.
So he came, had the pupusas, and then since then, it's been locked down, bro.
We're taking notes here. So, Lil, if you're taking notes at home, you want to close a business deal, pupusa. Just write it on there. If you don't know how to make them, hit up Will and let you know how to make them.
That's so funny, dude. That's so cool, man. Because, like we talked a little about it earlier, man. The gym you're building here, it's so awesome. Because I think to this day, how you talked about it earlier, that you built the gym and the community built itself, you know, within the gym. I think it's still happening to this day, you know, except obviously now at a lot higher level with a lot higher tier individuals and athletes. And it's so cool because you're giving like such a badass platform for everybody, not only the top tier athletes, right, that come and train from State, Mark, the pro, you know, Aaron, and all the pro athletes that come here too, as well as the collegiate athletes. But it's so awesome because you can also just, if you live in the area, you can come here and train with the same equipment, the same high quality equipment that they're training. And you guys always have a lot of stuff going on. No, you still do the meets. You guys have a bodybuilding team as well, no?
Yeah, so we just had a powerlifting meet not even a month ago. We had a powerlifting meet in February. Mm-hmm. So that one was we dedicated that one, or it was kind of like a tribute to Jonathan Keiko, which is, so he's a number one in his weight class for in powerlifting and the world. He went to Sheffield, which is a new competition by an SPD company, which is literally the biggest competition in powerlifting now, where they put the top 12 men, top 12 women in the world, with no, like, they have weight classes, but the weight classes aren't they're not going against their own weight classes. Yeah. Essentially, they're going up against each other, oh, all 12. Shoot. Yeah. So he got second place both years, and he's the only athlete in the world right now to make it in the top three in both
in
years.
The world?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So that's another one of our top level athletes. That's a stat. So like we have
world class.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's pretty much arguably one of the best in the world in powerlifting, and that's historically too.
Yeah.
Historically, he's probably the best bencher, and he's 93 kilos, which is 105 pounds. He can bench over 540 pounds.
That's nuts, dude. So in those competitions, how does it work? Is it based off of like percentage or just the raw weight that you push?
So for that one, in general, the Sheffield was a meet where they go based off a percentage of the current world record. Mm-hmm. So so they take the squat, bench, and deadlift, and they get a total out of that. And whatever percentage you are closest to the world record for that current weight class is essentially the winner, whoever had the highest. For the most part, though, most meets are still squat, bench, and deadlift, and they take that total. Whoever gets the highest total in that weight class wins that weight class.
That's nuts.
So that February one was a tribute to him. And then now we have one June 1st.
Nice.
So that's our next one. We called it Till Death. It's kind of funny because it's my wife's and I anniversary. So
on June 1st?
On the same day?
Yeah.
What does she say about that? She's supportive of it? Oh, really?
Yeah.
No awesome. Way.
Yeah, so we're all sitting here just kind of hanging out. And we wanted to do something for our anniversary. We wanted to do something big. We were actually thinking about having like a vow renewal, like getting married again. And she's like, yeah, that sounds cool. Like, let's do that. Like, we were starting planning and we're like, fuck, dude. Like, I have to plan another wedding. Like, this is hard, dude. Like, I don't know if we want to do this. And so... So we just kind of like kept putting it off. And then we were just talking about the next meet and they were like, we should have one in the summer. And she goes, June 1st, it's a Saturday. Yeah. So we're like, yeah, let's do that. And then the name just came up Till Death. I was like, that's perfect. Cause it's kind of, you know, it's a tribute to us, but it's also like, that's how we feel about, not just powerlifting, but just lifting in general, you know, keep pushing forward, keep that strength going.
Yeah. That's pretty badass. Till Death, June 1st. And are those two? Do you guys open those to the public, or how does that work?
Yeah, so they're it's a open meet, which essentially you sign up, and if you think you can squat, bench, and deadlift, that's all you really need to do. There, you know, we have a set of rules, but there is no rule of minimum amount of lifting or you know whatever. It's just really what you can put up there, and really that's kind of like what really propelled our gym. We kept putting on either powerlifting meets or events where people would come and showcase their strength, or you know, and that really, I think it propelled the sport. It propelled here in Fresno.
100%.
Yeah.
Because you guys host them here too. You know, you not only like go to other meets, but you host them here.
We host
too,
them.
Right?
We direct them. We ref them. Everything. Yeah. From the ground up, we do everything.
How long you guys been doing that? Ever since 9 years ago when you first started? Or?
No. So I, believe it or not, I didn't even know about powerlifting at the first gym. I hosted we called the 1,000-pound club, and that was kind of something that I brought from the Army. We squat, bench, and deadlift. Whoever can put together a total of 1,000 pounds or more, gets a you know, t-shirt or whatever, bragging rights.
Kind of like back in the old high school days. My high school had the same exact, I never got a part of it, but I mean.
Yeah, so we did that, and we invited a bunch of people from Sanger. We invited, you know, people from Fresno came out, and it just, somebody was like, oh, I can probably get that in two lifts. And I was like, what? Like, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, like, I can bench 500 pounds, squat, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, dude, what? Like, what are you? Really? Like, there's people out here that exist that can lift that much? And he's like, yeah, dude, like, and I'm at the bottom. And so that's when we kind of found out about powerlifting. He's like, yeah, there's these events where, like, people go out and do this competitively. And me and Peter, our manager, he was like, I told him, I was like, hey, dude, you want to do a powerlifting meet? And he's like, what? I don't even know what that is. Like, and so we signed up. And, like, dude, 2 months later, we were doing a powerlifting meet down in Long Beach.
There's that impulse, bro, you talked about in the beginning. You just roll with it.
Damn, that's so crazy. And I feel like it's so cool because I think at the time, you guys were the only real gym that was putting on like powerlifting competitions.
You know, at the level that we were doing it, because we were kind of like really wanted to do a different twist on it because there was other gyms doing it. Like powerlifting has been around for a long time, so I definitely won't take credit for powerlifting or anything like that. And powerlifting has been in Fresno for a long time as well. But I don't know. It was almost like gatekeeped for a little bit. There was like a stigma to it, and you know, it was like, you gotta be super, like, super strong, super gritty. Like, don't even do it if you can't lift.
That's what I've always thought. I've always saw like the Brian Shaws of the world. Like, those guys are just large, like a grizzly bear, you know?
And yeah. So like, I think that was kind of the difference between them and us, that we just kind of like, dude, why not?
Made it super accessible.
Yeah, like why not do it? Let's drop some barriers here. Let's you know, ease of entry. Let's get everybody motivated to do it, and not just to be the strongest, but you know, just to get out of your comfort zone and
compete against yourself a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. And then from there, dude, honestly, like we've had people start their powerlifting journey here and go to the top. You know, like, and
awesome.
It's been really cool to see.
What would you say is the biggest difference, bro, you've seen, or similarities in the same note, of powerlifting compared to like the like Mr. Olympia competitions and the bodybuilding of the world?
So I think the biggest thing is just you get to showcase what you've been working on. You get that, you know, you get, we call it a platform where you lift, and but really you get a platform of, you know, this is what I've been doing, this is, you know, this is why I haven't been able to go out for some drinks, or you know, this is why I can't hang out sometimes because I'm at the gym. You can't fake that, you know. You can't fake going to the gym. The results are going to show no matter what. So at the end of the day, like, you know, you can cheat your way through a lot of things, but you can't cheat your way through strength or through bodybuilding. There's just no shortcut, you know. Yep. You have to do the work, and those, you know, between bodybuilding and powerlifting or any type of strength sport, like, you have to do the work no matter what.
I feel like that's been the secret, bro. Like, the secret sauce for the Iron Office is hosting these tournaments, hosting these different events throughout since you guys, 9 years ago, since you guys first started.
That's definitely been a side quest almost, you know?
Yeah.
Like, but that's kind of built into the mission, you know? You have to, I don't think without it, we wouldn't have gotten to where we are now. But it's nice to be able to kind of not force those events into people now. So back then, you know, we would try to do 4 a year, and it was just more like, we need to do this, we need to, like, so it was very stressful, it wasn't as rewarding.
Forced.
Yeah. So like it was a lot of fun in the moment, but it wasn't as rewarding later. Like, I'm having all my friends do all this work, and we're not making money from it, blah, blah, blah. So now that we're at a point where the gym is successful, we can host these events and everybody can have fun, and we don't have to stress about anything. It's just, you know, we have the space for it. So it's been a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Like I said, now it's a side quest, but like, it was part of the mission back when we first started.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And I feel like you add that on top of the whole influencer game that you've done. Cause you look at it, for example, LA, big cities like LA, right? You look at like Bradley Martin's gym, right? I've seen that, like, Zoo Culture, they have a bunch of tons of different influencers. That's like their main claim to fame. But it's kind of cool here, because here in Fresno, there's never been anything like that. And then you enter your gym, right, where you have Mark Castro, you have a Banks. And not only do you have that, but you also add the competitive side as well, where you're not just influencer gym only, but you have the competitive side. So talk a little bit about the influencer side, bro, and like the sponsor that you've done, because like, obviously that's not a normal thing that a lot of other gyms like to do and that have done. And you've kind of separated and made your own path doing that as well.
Yeah, so the sponsorship stuff, it started almost like a silent thing. So I would sponsor my friends, or I would sponsor people that were on my powerlifting team. And so that was, it was because they were supporting me and they were supporting the gym in our journey. But then once we actually kind of like wanted to use the business side of it, I've reached out to a few people, but the biggest key component of our sponsorships are people that are already members at our gym, and people that we feel kind of have the same sense of community that we do, that instill the same, you know, like, work ethic. We want to make sure that the person can, you know, has a, like, adversity, like, they can, you know, they're resilient, they have other things going on other than just lifting. Like, I want to, like, so that was kind of where we focused on with the sponsorships. We wanted to make sure that it was somebody that can motivate other people, because not everybody just has their lifting as their main thing, and that's something in big cities that they do, you know. big athletes, they all they do is lift or all they do is work out because they're making however much money they are, you know? But here in Fresno, everybody has a job. Everybody, you know, it's a smaller city. There's not as much money to go around for influencers. So
more like a passion project after, right?
Yeah. So for me, it was just like, you know, if I can help a certain individual in any way that I can, I've reached out to a few of them to kind of work on that. And I'm like, look, I see that you're motivating others, and you might not know that, or you might know it or not, but we see it, and you're motivating us to keep growing with you, and you're growing with us. And that was kind of the thing. Like, it was, if I can see that you're motivating me to grow, or if I can see that you're motivating, that somebody else is like, hey, you know what, that person's really fucking working their ass off. Yeah. I'm like, dude, like, they're going places, you know? Yeah. I want to go places with them.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so cool, dude, because I think today was like the first time I've ever like seen somebody walk out of a gym with like a tripod set up. Like, I've never seen
especially
that before.
Around here. Especially around here. You never see that California, ever.
Like, never. Yeah. So it's so cool to see, man, because, like, literally, you know, everything you've talked about, it's legit. You know, it's true. Like, you're giving these people a platform to inspire other people or continue to inspire other people.
It's almost like frowned upon here too, right? Like, here in Fresno, someone sees someone recording themselves like a vlog or like a gym workout, it's kind of like, ah, why are they doing that? You know, like a negative thing.
It's a boomer thing. Like, I mean, I kind of consider myself a boomer too, because when we first started the gym, like, you know, the first Fresno gym, like, tripod started popping up and stuff, and like, they were getting recordings and stuff, and I was like, you know what, like, I don't know if I like that. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it's they're recording people in the background, or other people are kind of uncomfortable with the camera. Mm-hmm. But like, as the fitness kind of community evolved and everything else kind of evolved with it, Instagram, everything, I was like, dude, like, if this is part of it, like, this is part of fitness, you know, like, sure, cameras suck sometimes, but sometimes they're in the way, or sometimes, you know, sometimes they get obnoxious, but it influences people. It actually motivates people.
Yeah. And it's so crazy, because now it's like, if you're a fitness influencer, like, you're almost like part of your pack. You know, whatever you bring to the gym, like, it almost is your tripod, you know, like, you have to have that. Especially now with like the advent of TikTok, Reels, and all this thing, I feel like the content creation part of the fitness industry has only kept on getting bigger. So it's so awesome, dude, that you're able to provide like a platform where that's not frowned upon, and you have people that feel comfortable enough to set up shop here and basically go to work, because that's what they're doing. You know, they're going to work, literally lifting the gym, but also too in their craft, you know, their fitness journey. So damn, dude, it's so funny, because I would have never thought that, like, as a gym owner, though, like, thinking about it, it is kind of like a hot topic, you know, where some members might not like it, other people might like it, a little bit in the way. How did you traverse that, bro? Like, was that like a quick conversation? Like, is it still an ongoing conversation with the team?
That's always ongoing. Like, just the camera usage in general, that's going to be it. And it's not necessarily because of the cameras or anything, but sometimes content comes out that you're like, what the fuck? Like, why is that happening in my gym? Yeah. Like, you know, and we don't have control over people. We don't have control over what they say. But if I start censoring people, or if I start telling someone that they can't record a certain thing that they're doing, or, you know, then that becomes even more of an issue, because at what point, where do I draw the line?
Yeah.
You know, so why would I get involved in something that isn't really, it's not really a problem yet. Yeah. You know? So everybody here is very respectful to each other for the most part. And I feel like if there isn't an issue, you know, I don't want to create one.
And I feel so cool too, because, you know, part of like, especially with the people you sponsor, but even with that too, it comes with the core values that you guys have as a company too, as a gym. Because I feel like you attract like, what's that saying? Birds of the feather flock together. So it's the same thing, you know. I feel like you've attracted people here that understand that concept, and they're respectful, and they're not doing like crazy outlandish things, you know, that sometimes you see go viral on TikTok or whatever, you know. So that's cool, man. I can only imagine the conversation that goes behind that, dude. Like, because it is stressful, you know, like, thinking like, well, shoot, especially if you start seeing things they're a little bit out of pocket. You're just like, shit, like, it's hard, because it is a tricky ground where censoring people and not censoring people, freedom of speech, and probably like legal things too as well, you know?
Yeah, that's where I said that I'm a boomer too, because a lot of the stuff that people make, I'm like, dude, it's like, I don't know if I would do that, you know? Like, so, you know, but yeah, they go out and do their thing, and they feel comfortable with it, and they'll tag us in a lot of stuff. And sometimes I'm like, man, I don't know if I should repost that. But I'm like, hey, if they feel comfortable, if they feel comfortable putting it out to the world, then, you know, like, we like to repost it. We like to repost people's stuff on our story because it's not just a sense of validation, but it's like a sense of like, hey, we see you, you know, like, I know you're tagging us, like, I know you want us to see your content, or you're promoting our brand, you know, whatever, you're helping us. So like, we see you, we validate you, we understand that, you know, we see you, the work that you're putting
like
in.
Dapping them up a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We miss a lot though. Sometimes we don't catch all of them. Our stories are like, so, you know, sometimes I have to kind of like tone it down. I'm like, all right, I'm not going to post anything today because I might have to post an announcement and they're not going to see it.
But it's cool, bro, because you run the social media page yourself too, right?
Yeah, that's probably the most annoying part of the business, you know, and it's only annoying because of like the tediousness of it. You know, there's so many small tasks of it. If you know, answering questions, making posts, making content, all that stuff, it's a lot of work, and I don't know, that part of me I need to find somebody that I can delegate it to, that I'm going to trust that they're going to kind of take care of it, because there's a lot, you know, you can go.
It's tough to hand it off. I mean, you've been doing it for so long, bro, because I know you wear that hat and you wear a lot of other hats too, right? How many other hats do you wear?
Now I do the content for the gym. I run the gym and family. That's pretty much, those are my top three. Those are, it's very hard to check out of either one of those, you know? So everything else is kind of like a side thing, but I pick up some stuff. I go shoot for Fresno State sometimes, but for the most part, the big three are my wife and my kid, the gym, and the social media.
That's awesome, bro. It's cool to see too that you still have so much involvement with your family too, bro. It's not just all work 100%, because at the end of the day, if you have a family, your family's just as important too, I believe, and work's always going to be there. But and one thing too, I wish they were here today, bro. I want to talk about real quick, really quick to touch on, is that you still have your same boys that you had from 9 years ago. No, like some of your top level team that you have, a part of your team is guys that started with you in the beginning. So talk about that, bro, and how crucial it's been to have the same team every stage as you've kind of leveled up.
Yeah, dude. Very first gym, like the guys that are here, that they've been with me since the very first gym, and it's I don't know, man. It's like, without them, none of this would be possible, to be honest. They believed in the vision, they believed in what we were working on, and they followed me through, and so they're still here, and so shout out to them, man.
Yeah,
and
it's sick.
They're always there for me.
And you guys can see, or you guys can't really see, but in the very beginning when we first got here, all the guys, the whole crew was back here right here. You have a PS5 in the back here. We have a whole
two
PS5s. And it's super cool because it's almost like a family, right? We talked a little bit about it off camera, but you've really created not only a place to come and it's your business, right? But you've also created like a place to come where it's just like family, like boys just rolling in here. You said you bring your wife and your child here with you as well. Like, you eat breakfast here, bro. Like,
yeah. So we're in here every morning, probably like around 10:30 to 11. I make breakfast at home every morning. Come over here, sit down. There's usually at least one other person in the office by the time I get here. We have breakfast. We go work out. But yeah, there's always someone here. You know, like my boy's 2 years old I don't know. There's just something about me, like with my kid growing up in the gym, and not necessarily just the gym, but the business. You know, like, I want him to see the growth. I want him to see how that this is all part of the process. You know, I mean, he's only 2 years old. He doesn't understand all that stuff, but he's gonna have some core memories there. You know.
Yeah. Well, in the same way, dude, that you kind of picked up some of the stuff that your dad did with flipping the cars. It's like that saying that goes with kids, like, you know, kids don't learn behavior, or you can't teach them a behavior, they pick it up, right? Like, they watch you and they learn from what they watch you. But it's the same thing, it's just so cool because you have him back here. Maybe he'll be super young, eventually get older enough where he'll start seeing like, oh shoot, dad does this, or, you know, to grow the business, it takes this type of conversations, or this type of work, these type of hours. So that's so awesome, man. Because I think that now it really goes back to what you said earlier, where one of the biggest reasons you started this thing was to build something for yourself. And here you are, you have built something for yourself, and it's still growing, and you're still building it, you know. But now you also have your son who's watching that and learning how to also build something I can kind of keep it going, you know. So that's awesome. I'm expecting dad, future dad, here in July. So
awesome!
That, yeah, so that, it's so cool, man, because that's one of the big things to talk about. You know, we're in the process of like we want to get an HQ, and we're looking at this like, oh, this is so cool. They got the PS5s, they got the monitors and stuff like that.
We were literally talking on the way here, bro. We were literally talking about that.
Yeah, so we're like, cool. Yeah. So we're looking at the places to open up like an official HQ, man. So it's so awesome what you've built, dude. Shit, man, we love being here. We love having you on the show, man. So it's awesome, dude. And I know AP has a signature question.
Yes.
Are you ready for that one?
I want to do some rapid fire. So before I promised myself, I know a couple people that I told we were doing the Iron Office, including Matt, a couple other people as well, that I ask him a couple of questions, you know? So I want to kind of kick it before we end. And before we do that too, I appreciate your time, bro. And yes, I know how super busy you are. And we talked about you're 9 years in and you're still wearing social media hat. You're still running around here. And I know that you're still kind of really hands involved too, bro. So we appreciate you coming on the show. And I know they do at home as well watching. So rapid fire, real quick, bro. Rapid fire is number one. What's the number one advice you would give to someone out there who's wanting to start a gym, right? Because obviously in the gym game, you see so many gyms that close year after year, bro. And it's not necessarily a negative stigma, but it's a tough business, bro. So what's some advice you would give a gym owner out there that's aspiring to have their own Iron Office?
My biggest thing is stick with it, man. Like, and I don't mean that like, I don't mean that just, you know, actively, but I mean that like from the gate, just if you're going to do it, just fucking know that it's going to be work, and know that you're going to have to stick with it no matter what. If it gets to that point, you know, you always got people around you. You always have community, but it's just, it's going to take you. Mm-hmm. No matter what you do, it's going to take you. It's going to take all of you. And you need to make sure that you stick with it.
It's almost like lifting, right? When you're lifting, you have the bench. I mean, you can have a spotter, but at the end of the day, it comes down to you. Like, you don't lift the weight, I mean, the weight's not going to lift itself.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, there's no fear in failing. Like, I mean, there is, but, like, if you fail, you can always get back up, you know? The biggest thing you can lose is money, usually. Maybe a little bit of your sanity, but it'll come back. Like, you just gotta come back and face it, you know? Take it to the chin and just go.
Love it, bro. Yeah, that's cool, bro. And if you guys are starting gym or just in business in general, right? I know even for us, like, the business we have, Academy West, like, it's cool to hear that because it's very similar. Like, I feel like business is super similar, right? Like, it doesn't really matter what industry you're going in. There's applicable business lessons you can learn in the gym industry, insurance, and real estate industry we're in. Like, it's super cool to see, bro. Next one is not so businessy. I really want to know, what is Will's favorite lift?
Dude, I've had cycles of it. There was periods where it was squat, there's periods where it was bench, then deadlift. But right now it is squat.
Squat, okay.
Yeah.
What about squat makes it your favorite?
Dude, like, the weight's on top of you. Like, you know, you can't escape it. I mean, like, it's, you put it on there, you get it up, you take it a couple steps back, and then you go to squat, but man, it feels so heavy on your back. It doesn't really matter what the amount of weight it is, it's always going to feel heavy, and it's always going to, even when it feels light, it feels heavy.
Yeah.
And when you get up to those, you know, those, we call them top sets, when you get up to that weight that you're going to do for the day, you're always like, dude, like, don't fuck it up. You know, like, because that's coming down with you, you know, gravity is playing its toll.
Yeah. I've seen too many bad TikToks, bro. You go down for the squat and I don't even want to describe the rest of it, right? But like,
yeah, it's a little bit of a rush, but I like pushing myself on it. I know that I'm going to get something out of it every time, and I come off the bar, and I'm like, oh, my God, I can't believe I just did that. But dude, that's what's the fun part about it.
When you do it, bro, there's no better feeling. When you PR, you have a new PR in the lift, bro, it's like weight lifted off your shoulders, arguably, right?
Yeah.
Awesome, bro.
I got one, too, dude. I got a couple. We got a couple. What does Will like to do in his time off? You're at the gym a lot, but you got some downtime too. You got family now. Well, what's your go-to thing on your time off?
So it's funny because we've talked about this before, my wife and I, but I don't really get time off, to be honest. We have Sundays, and we spend it doing laundry. I watch Logan, my wife does laundry. But whenever we do, like, you know, 99% checkout, we love to eat, man. To eat. Sushi is... that's the number one thing we do. Like,
really?
But lately we've been on our fitness journey again. Okay. So we're having that competition coming in June. So we've been kind of staving off of food for a little bit, as you know, as much as we used to. So Dude, we go home and I watch Trolls with my kid, or I watch fucking Gabby's Dollhouse, you know? But for the most part, time off is non-existent. I go home and I work and, you know, never really fully check out.
Yeah.
You don't show your son like PRs. You don't start. How early is too early, bro?
Dude, we have videos. Like, we have videos. Like, I like showing him. Time off Sundays, I watch football when football season. Okay. So it's a little bit different right now, I guess, you know?
You like the Raiders, but I don't know if we'd call it watching football, right? Yeah. It's a different story, bro. I can't talk much,
but yeah, but I don't know. Like, he loves the Raiders, my kid. Okay. So I show him the videos, and he's like, he lifts his hands for touchdowns, you know? But for the most part, we show him the gym, and he fucking loves being here, dude. He goes out there with us while we're lifting, and that's he awesome. Watches us. Yeah, so time off is really why we're here, to be honest. I mean, we work a lot. But those 5, 6, 7 hours that we're here during the day, kind of hanging out with the guys, lift, throwing ideas around. Yeah.
It's fun, man. It's fun when you create an environment where work doesn't feel like work. You know, you touched on that earlier, where work doesn't feel like work. It's something enjoyable that you come in and do, and you have a lot of fun, dude. Next question we had in the pipeline for you guys. A lot of people asked us to ask you this one. What's your marks right now at all the three major lifts? What are you lifting right now?
To be honest, I haven't actually done my maxes in a while, but if I were to have a pretty solid guesstimate, I probably squat around 400. I'm benching probably maybe 280, 290.
Okay.
And deadlift, I did max recently. I did 440 on my deadlift.
There you go. You're like well above the 1,000-pound club. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that was kind of happy with that, actually. Yeah. I was happy that I was still above that because we want to bring it back. We want to bring the 1,000-pound club back. We just haven't found a good date for it yet, and we want to promote it. But it's something that we want to bring back, and I was like, dude, I want one of those shirts that we'll make it, you know?
That's cool. So you and your wife, it sounds like you and your wife are going to compete June 1st?
June 1st, yeah. Both my wife and I are going to be the first.
Oh, she's going to compete too?
Yeah.
No way.
Oh, yeah. My wife's, dude, she squats over 300 pounds right now.
No shit.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, she's squatting over 300. Her bench is probably around 123, 130.
Mm-hmm.
And her deadlift is really close to 300 as well.
Has she always been in the gym, or is that something she picked up when she first got with you?
Yeah, she's always been in the gym. Oh, yeah, sick. That's not something that I introduced to her, yeah.
That's awesome. I'm trying to think of some other ones we had, man. Those were the big ones.
I have kind of a question. I mean, this is kind of a personal one for me. Like, what does it mean for Will to build a business, Iron Office, here in the Central Valley?
Dude, honestly, so I didn't grow up in the Central Valley, but I was from LA, and when I first moved here, it was like almost like a culture shock. Like, everything just slowed down. The schools that I was at over there, we had 7,000 students in the schools, like, and it was like a track system, like where people would, like, got off on break and then would get back on because there's so many kids in the schools. So when I came to Sanger, it was very, very slow. Like, I hated it. I didn't want to be there. But as you know, as time went on, graduated from high school and then kind of like became an adult myself. You know, I was like, dude, this is actually kind of cool. And then I moved to San Diego. I was down in Oceanside for a little bit, for a couple years, and when I decided to build my business, I was like, dude, I gotta go back to Fresno. Like, that's gonna be it. Like, I feel like I can grow there, I can develop there, and 'cause Fresno's growing, Sanger's growing, all these, you know, all these little towns, and I still feel like the impact of COVID has done a lot in Fresno in a positive way, where businesses have started kind of like bringing their way over here. Where, so I don't know. To me, helping Fresno develop into something is you know, it's a big honor.
How was it with you guys during COVID, bro? Did you guys stay open, or how did that work?
It was kind of interesting. So the whole shutdown happened, and the first month I was like, what? I'm not fucking shutting down. Like, I got to pay my bills, man. My landlord didn't say he was going to give me time off, you know? So I was like, no, dude, there's no way. And then the city came. They're like, hey, you got to close, man. Like, so I was like, whatever, dude. So I closed, and then I read the letter, and it said something about indoor spaces are what needs to close. So I was like, it doesn't say anything else. It doesn't say what you can do. So we moved all the equipment outside, and we put some tents up, and we fucking started the gym back up. And sure enough, the city came out to try to shut us down again. There, I was like, dude, where does it say that you can't do this outside?
Mm.
And they're like, yeah, you're right, I guess. And so we, so, but it, I mean, the that was kind of like what propelled us where we're at now. It was like a catalyst, because I always said that it was it just took time for people to find us. But they were kind of forced to find us because we were one of the only ones that were open,
Yeah.
And advertising it. We're, you know, we were saying that we were open. So a bunch of people, like literally hundreds of people came and signed up for a very small gym. And they, and then from there, just kind of, I was like, dude, I can stay here. I can take all this money. I must have a fucking Lambo if I want to. And then when COVID's over, you know, just go back to doing the same shit. Or I can put that vision in work where, you know, my original idea of making a community out of this, bringing everybody together in something big. And so I put that money right back into the gym.
That's so COVID was the result. Really, COVID propelled you to open from that gym to the 28,000 square foot gym.
Yeah.
Then, right.
Yeah. COVID when COVID happened, we were in a 5,000 square foot warehouse. From there, we moved into a 12,000 square foot warehouse, which was scary at the time because I didn't even know if I was going to be able to fill it up with equipment. And then just kept going. COVID was over and people kept buying into the idea. And I was like, dude, like we're running out of space. And then sure enough, the landlord wanted us out because there wasn't enough parking. They're like, hey, you guys got to go, man. Like,
that's
you guys
got a cool problem to have, though.
That's a badass problem to have. Yeah.
Yeah. So, it was a blessing because I don't think I would have moved into this place. Like this, I felt like it was way too much at the time. But because of that kind of like pushed us out, I was like, dude, we have like, it's almost took the choice out of my hands. You know, they tied my hands to do it. And I was like, dude, this is the best thing that could have happened to us.
It's exciting, bro. And it's so cool to see, especially Fresno, right? Like here in the Central Valley, I always feel like people here in the Central Valley always have that kind of like an edge to them, right? Where it's a little bit different. We're not from LA. We're not from any other city. We're from the Central Valley where it's a farm town. People like to get their hands dirty. And it's super cool to see like business owners like yourself. A couple episodes ago, we had Lewis Lux, Lewis Everick over here from, he has the Woodward. He had a lot of other different establishments here in Fresno. And he was the same exact way as you. So it's kind of cool to see where he was on the forefront of like, we're not going to close. We need to stay open because obviously it's your business, right? The landlord's not going to give you a free pass. So it's cool to see out of all the cities. I know there's a lot of other cities that were the opposite where some of them closed, bro. And some of these businesses consequently closed their doors after COVID. And it's cool to see the other side of the coin where you, bro, like instead of closing, you upgraded from 5,000 all the way to freaking 28,000 and expanded even more.
Yeah, it's been a dream ever since. Like every time something happens and we kind of upgrade, I still shock myself, man. I'm like, dude, like I can't believe we're still doing this. Like shit, the other day I was working out and I was like grabbing the equipment and I wiped it down, you know, after I whipped it. I was like, dude, this is mine. Yeah. Like this is fucking cool. Like, you know, so like I still get excited. I still get giddy when I go out there in the gym and I see people working out and dude, it's like, I can't believe it. I can't believe they believe in us, you know?
Yeah. That's awesome too. Even the whole COVID thing, bro, is very on brand with Aaron Office, with Aaron Office's brand. You know, like, so we'll go outside, dude. You can only live.
The office stays open.
And the dude, office stays open, baby.
Middle of the summer, man. Like it was fucking 100 something degrees out there, and people were just, you know, they were just going to town.
Their money,
yeah.
That's awesome, dude. Man,
at one point in that stage, did you feel like you made it, bro? Or have you ever felt like you arrived yet? Or
I have my small moments where I'm like, I made it today.
Yeah.
You know, I think I'm done and I'm not even close, you know, like I feel like every day I have a new mindset, a new mission.
So what's next, dude, for Will, Aaron Office, Will and the Aaron Office?
You know,
what's part of that vision?
So we have plans, but, they're more kind of like, you know, dreams a little bit, but it's always something that we're working on. I would love to have a second location. There was something that I didn't want in the past just because the community that has built itself, I don't want that to get watered down. Mm. I don't want the brand to get watered down. So if something like that does happen, it has to be right. It has to be right for our members. It has to be right for us. But the reason why I would even want a second location is because I want to spread what we have. You know, it's not because I want to double what we have, but I want to kind of bring out that same reach, that same culture, that same environment of getting stronger.
Yeah. Selfishly, bro. I mean, I don't want to throw around Visalia, but I mean, selfishly.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. In my head, I'm like, second location.
It is, bro. Like you walk in here and I'm like, obviously we're not dressed to work out right now, but I'm like, I almost want to ask, hey, well, you got some extra shorts in the back or kind of hit a quick pump after this?
Yeah. Yeah. Damn.
But it's sick, bro. It's obviously, that was a little bit of rapid fire, and we appreciate it, bro. And obviously, here at the All Assist Podcast, every single episode, we always have a signature All Assist Podcast question that we like to finish off with, bro. And it's kind of like situational based. And I want you to put Will back in the Will where maybe you were just about to end your Army mission that you had going on, right? The Army stuff that you got going on, you're just about to end. Maybe you were first thinking about the gym, and maybe it was even the first month of the Iron Office gym, right? Where little office in Sanger. What's some advice you would give Will back then to let you know that, hey, if you just stick around long enough, 28,000 square foot gym and all the success is going to come?
Dude, honestly, going back, I don't know if there's anything that I would be able to tell that Will to that would make it any different, because he wouldn't fucking listen. Dude, I was stubborn. I had my mindset going, and it was just what I would say is stick to it, because that's what you're going to do, you know? There's nothing I could say to change that guy's mind.
Bro, it blows my mind, bro, because they always say success leaves clues, right? And I feel like if you look at every successful entrepreneur, they always have a little bit of like an edge to them, something that's just like really hard-headed, right? We're the same way. We're super hard-headed. If you tell us something, we're like, I don't know. Let me try it out. Like, you tell us, hey, there's a cliff at the end of you. Jump off, you're going to die. Let me figure it out, you know? And so it's so cool, bro, to see you're the exact same way where, not necessarily the cliff example, right? But, like, it's just like that ignorance on fire where it's just like, bro, well, like you said, you talked about those guys or six-year-olds who are trying to sell you more treadmills. Like, you're going to fail, Will. I promise you're going to fail. I may fail. Cool. Let me figure it out, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's super cool to see that mindset, bro, and I'm sure a lot of people at home can relate to the exact same answer you just said.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, it's been a, like I said, I keep saying it, but it's been a dream, and it's sometimes I can't believe it's happening, but I honestly, like, I wouldn't have it any other way. The struggles, the pains that I've gone through make it all worth it.
Man, well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for taking the time, bro, to come out with us. I know you're super busy. You got your family, you got the kid. So we really appreciate the time that you took away from your family and your Iron Office family to come with us. You dropped a lot of game, bro. You dropped a lot of bombs. A lot of knowledge where people
dropped, you know, a lot of iron, huh?
A lot of fucking
a lot
iron.
Of iron.
Yeah, dude. No matter what industry you're in or what dream you're pursuing, dude, like Ant said, success leaves clues. And there's a lot of stuff that people can go back, listen to this episode, and learn a ton of things from it. Resilience, gritty, figuring shit out. We call it the FITFO muscle. You ever heard of the FITFO muscle?
I haven't.
The figure the fuck out muscle. You know, so some people got to work that one out a little bit. Mark's heard about it. You know, that's what it was when you guys were in COVID, you know, and there's so many badass lessons, dude, in this show. And your story, just how your platform is meant to inspire other people. We know that your story right now is going to inspire a ton of people. People that already come to the gym, people that might not go to the gym yet, but are going to come to the gym because of the mission and the core values that you guys have here at the Iron Office, man. So hopefully you bring it to Visalia. We'll be there. But with that, man, thank you so much. And we'll see you guys in the next episode.
Most importantly, if you're in Fresno, where can they find you, Will?
Yes.
1570 East Knees, for Cedar Knees. You're not going to miss it, man. Our sign is right on the side of the road. So huge 28,000 square foot building, black walls inside. You're going to love it.
Where can they find you guys on Instagram if they want to find more?
The Iron Office Gym on Instagram, or visit our website, theironoffice.com.
Awesome. I promise you guys, if you're in Fresno, even if you're not in Fresno, if you're in L.A., if you're in Bakersfield, I don't care where you're at, make sure you make the trip. Come on down to the Iron Office right here in Fresno, California. I promise you, 10 out of 10 recommend. If you're coming for a lift, coming to see the boxing gym, coming to just see what a badass gym looks like, make sure to stop by. Will and his whole staff are super inviting. They make you feel like you're at home. And I promise you won't regret it 100%. So, yeah, with that being said, appreciate you guys watching. We'll see you on the next episode. You guys want a Will? We got Will. Appreciate you coming on again, bro.
Yes, sir.
And peace. See you on the next one.
Make sure to like and subscribe, by the way.
Peace. Cool.